Be'ezras Hashem, our first topic, la halacha, that emerges from Af Mem Dalid, is the very important rule of the Mishnah, and that is the rule of Iker and Tafel. The Mishnah concluded on the top of Mem Dalid Amid Aleph, Zeakal, kol shu Iker v'imo tfeila, mevarech ala Iker upoter es hatfeila. You make a bracha on the primary food, and the secondary food is dragged along. We should note, of course, that the exception to the rule is that when it comes to a mezonos, even if the mezonos is a secondary ingredient, as long as it's significant, you make a mezonos and everything else, because of tafel, we've discussed this in the halacha section when discussing schnitzel on daf lamed zayin. Now I would like to make a few ha'aros. The sugya of ikar and tafel is large and important, but I'd like to make a couple of ha'aros within the sugya. And Be'er Hashem, give a couple of halacha l'maisa examples. Firstly, let's discuss the opening case in the Mishnah and see how that applies today. In the Mishnah, we had seen, Heviu l'fanam meliach, if they brought in front of him a salty fish, upas imo, then mevarech ha-meliach upoter es ha-pas. You make a bracha on the salty fish, since the pas is there and only secondary. Why? Because the pas is there to mitigate the salt. We will discuss in a moment what exactly the scope of mitigating the salt is. Let's take a look and see how this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and from there segue to another couple of halachos on Iker v'Tafel. Says the Mechaber, Reish Yud Beis Sif Aleph, Kol Shu Iker V'Imo Tfeila, Mevarech Al Iker Poter Asa Tfeila. You make a brach on the Iker and you ignore the tafel. The Mechaber continues, Vafilu pras shu hu chashuv mikol, even bread that is more chashuv than everything, imu tafel kegon sheochel do maliach veochel pasimo, kedei shelo yazikenu begrono. Now notice, the Mechaber adds that the bread was added so that your throat should not be damaged. Some discuss, what would the halacha be if a person eats herring, and he enjoys eating the herring. Clearly, he's interested in eating the herring, but he enjoys having a biscuit help it go down. Now, from the language of the Mechaber, the only time the pas doesn't get a bracha or the mezonos doesn't get a bracha is if it's there, shelo yazikenu hagoro. Adds the Mishnah Berura, aval eino toiv klal lechel pas. He doesn't want to eat the bread at all. L'chein havi ha-pas tafel. Then the pas is going to be tafel. Masheinken mutov lechol pas gamkein. But if he enjoys it, then the halacha is that the pas is considered the primary. Even if it's the secondary, we said pas is primary. And it's important to note that the only time we say, when it comes to a salty item, that you ignore the pas, like our Mishnah said, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, it's if im eino tov klal lechol es ha-pas. So most times that it's a secondary food item, nevertheless, a person wants to eat it. I'm not aware of many people who eat biscuits with their herring simply to protect their throat. It's because it's part of the taste. Clearly, the herring is the primary, but as well, the biscuits are there to add. Same thing, some have raised an interesting question, Yerushalmi kugel and pickles, that you can't eat a Yerushalmi kugel without a pickle, but clearly a person enjoys the pickle as well. That would definitely not give the pickle a status of a tafel. Another yesod, which is very important, that the Mishnah Berurah adds in Reish Yud Beis over there, in Siv Dalet, Kivun Shu Tafel, Vafilu Kishelo Aya Tafel Afanav B'Shas Achilas Ha'ikar. The rule of Iker v'Tafel applies even if the Tafel is not in front of him at the time that he's eating the primary fruit. Food. If his intention was also to eat the Tafel. So let's think of another example. Let's say a person has ice cream. He's eating strawberry ice cream. And then there were small pieces of strawberry that were meant to be added in the ice cream, just weren't brought. His wife didn't bring it yet to the table. They're tiny, small pieces. They don't have significance on their own. If they have significance on their own, that's a different story, but they're clearly added into the ice cream. He knows his wife is about to bring it. So in such a case, the bracha of the shahakol is going to be koveya, and he will not need to make a new bracha on the strawberries. However, and here we get to rule number two of Ikar and Tefach. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. Avolim eino rogel b'kach and siv katan dalet. If he's not used to having strawberries, v'gam lo hayadaito b'feirush b'shas ha-bracha lechel ha-tafel, and also his intention was not during the bracha to eat the tafel, tzarech levarech gam al ha-tafel. Then the tafel needs its own independent bracha. The Chazon Ish in Simin Chav Zayin Sif Katan Tes gives a beautiful explanation to the rationale of this halacha. Why don't we say at the end of the day that the tafel doesn't get a bracha? Just because he didn't have in mind, still at the end of the day, it's a tafel. Says the Chazon Ish, the pshat that a tafel doesn't get his own bracha is not because ein perusha the tafel ein tzarech bracha. It's not because the tafel doesn't need a bracha. It does need a bracha. Rather, Ela Perusha Shatafel ain't Tzarech Bracha Didei. The Tafel doesn't need its own Bracha. And therefore, it is dragged along with the Bracha of the Iker. It doesn't make sense to say that a Tafel doesn't need a Bracha. Asa La'adam Lehenos Bolam Azeh Below Bracha. He can't have an Anah even from the Tafel without a Bracha. But the Pshat is that when he makes a Bracha on the Iker, so then that bracha goes also on the tafel, and the tafel doesn't need its own independent bracha. If that's so, says the Chazon Ish, then we understand this halacha that we quoted from the Mishnah Berurah, that the tafel is not subsumed under the bracha of the Iker. The Mishnah Berurah goes on to quote the Magen Avraham, but nevertheless the tafel in such a case would only get a shahakol. So coming back to the strawberries, if he didn't have in mind to eat the strawberries, and then his wife brings the strawberries, even if she's the tafel, so then in such a case, we have a fascinating situation where he'll make a shahakol on the strawberries. There's another fascinating example of this in the Sefer Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa, where Rav Shlomo Zalman was quoted one way from the Tshuvas Rivavot Ephraim, and then, in further, it seems, after further communication, Rav Neuvert reported that Rav Shlomo Zalman was not willing to extend his heter so far based on the rules of Iker V'Tofel. What we're talking about is the following. In Perek Memches, Sif Katan Yutes, in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Rav Neuvert quotes the halacha that if you have in mind to make a bracha on wine, and you make a bracha on wine, and later other wine is added to the cup, in such a case, the rule is that the bracha that you had made on the coast, if you didn't intend to drink any other wine, does not go on the new wine. However, he adds in a footnote in Kuf Tezvav that from the Tshuvas Rivas Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Grunblatt, that discussed this or wrote about this with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who suggested that it could be that since the added wine is the minority, then it becomes batel to the rest of the wine. However, and now we come to the sugya of Iker and Tafel. In the last edition, Chelek Gimel of Tikkunim and Miluim of the Shmirah Shabbos, going on this Mar Malkum, Perek Memches, Ha'arah Kuf Tesvav, Rav Neuvert writes the following. Gam Chozar V'Omar, this edition came out right before Rav Shlomo Zalman's Ptira. Here it's written, Agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Shlita. Fortunately, now we have to say Zatzal. Kivan da Iser lehenos below bracha, whom Mishum de Choshiv ki gezel umal, he was chozer. Maybe it wouldn't be allowed to have hana'a from the small amount of wine that is added. Efshar da reza choshiv ki mamona. There's a component of it being the mamon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, de lo batel. And he wants to argue, as mamon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not batel. He therefore adds something else. And here we get practical to other cases of Hilchos Brachos as well. V'gam imhosef sukar, shehevi mibayis achel, achar shabirich al koste. What happens if I have tea, and I drank it, and I realized I didn't have as much sugar in my house that I thought I had before. You should make a separate bracha on the sugar, because to add sugar now, even though it's a minority, you don't say bittul because of the rule. We conclude our perek, reviewing the first rule from Daf Lamed Hey, Amid Aleph, Kol Hanene Me'olam Hazeh Ki'ilu Mo'al. It's as if he stole from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the mammon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is not going to be batel. So when he made bracha, even though this is a tafel, like we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, since his mind was only on the ikur and not on the tafel, hence, he's not going to be able to exempt the sugar with his bracha that he had made on the tea. So this is an extension of the rule that we had seen, that how far it goes, that a tafel is not going to be subsumed under the bracha of the ikar, even when the regular rules of batel, Rav Shlomo Zalman claims, would and should apply. Nevertheless, they don't, because it's considered as if one is stealing from the mammon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Rav Nissim Karelitz, in the back of Chelek Beis of his Sfarim Chut Shani, disagrees in the case of the Tei. He says the following. He says, this is not a regular case of Ikar V'Tafel. V'Areza Gora Mitafel. This is worse than a Tafel that wasn't in front of you. We learned that if you have a Tafel that wasn't in front of you, you got to make a new bracha. Says Rav Nissim Karelitz, no, this is worse. The Ikar Shabirchas Iker Poteris HaTafel, the Tafel who Michael Bifnei Atzmo. When we talk about Iker and Tafel, the case of the strawberries are a food by themselves. Elishu Nitpol Iker. Vilachain, Birchas Iker Potrasa. Koshkein Achadein Michael Bifnei Atzmo. Over here, the sugar is not a food by itself, and he says the same will apply if you decide later on to add ice. It'll be a question, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. If you added ice, you also have to make a bracha. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman might say ice is different because it mamish becomes one. It's the same constitution as the drink itself. But Rav Nissim Karelitz says, according to his logic, there's no problem at all of adding ice afterwards and making a new bracha. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman would also agree, but the machlokas is in regard to the tea and then having the sugar come afterwards. I'd like to bring a raya to Rav Nissim Karelitz's approach from something that we had said earlier in our halacha from the daily daf, both on Daf Lamed Hey and Daf Yud Beis, and that is a raya from one of my great rabbeim, Rav Shechter. We spoke about whether we really, really look at food as being osur and literally the mammon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before making a bracha. And we said there's a machlokas rishonim of whether there's an exception to the rule that an onen is not supposed to make brachos when it comes to birchas hanenin. Some rishonim say that an onen has to because the food is aser, and others say no, onen doesn't even make birchas hanenin. What's behind the machlokas? Rav Shechter explained, and this I believe Soloveitchik also explained, that if you say the oni needs to make a bracha, that's because the food is aser. And just like an oni needs to shecht in order to be able to eat, well, he can't eat meat, but just like when it comes to isurim, he would not be allowed to violate isurim, and in cases where there's nothing else to eat and eat was the only thing, he would have to shecht. So too, when it comes to a bracha needs to be made to matir the isur. The rishonim who say that you don't understand that the bracha is a full-fledged matir and the food is a full-fledged iser, and we suggested other explanations for the Gemara when the Gemara says it's as if one has stolen from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we pointed out that in Shulchan Aruch, in Chelek Aleph Mishnah Berurah, we paskin that an onen does not make a bracha before he eats, and if that's so, Rav Shechter pointed out, we do not view the food as iser. Hence, it could very well be that Rav Nissim Karelitz has the right to ignore the posek hador zatzal, Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, that the sugar is not bottled because at the end of the day it's mammon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that cannot become bottled, because at the end of the day we don't paskin like that side of the chakira. Yes, there are some who understood the Gemara that way. Yes, some Rishonim who say that, but we don't view it that way. Hence, when it comes to the sugar, there's room to argue that the sugar is a lesser form of tafel, that even though if the tafel is not in front of you, you need to make a new bracha. However, when it comes to sugar, since the sugar is entirely batel to the tea, if you made a bracha on the tea and later on you add the sugar, then in such a case, you'd be allowed to be nene from the sugar and you're not stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you've made a bracha on the davar ha'ikar and the tafel is included as part of it. The Gemara Amim Dalet Amim Beis describes that in Eretz Yisrael, they would wear their tefillin longer than in Bavel. And when they tuck off the tefillin, they would make the bracha, Asher Kidshon Sosav Tzivanu L'Shmar Chukav, even though that bracha is not found in our lexicon. Nevertheless, I'd like to give a couple of halacha l'maisa implications, even though we are not aware of people who make the bracha. First of all, why was it dafka in Eretz Yisrael? As I mentioned, they left their tefillin on longer. This is the opinion of Tosas, the Bar Maskil of Neymar Rabba. Tosas says it was done particularly in Eretz Yisrael because they would leave their tefillin on all day. In contrast to those in Bavel, so they wouldn't wear it that long. They would only wear it for a half a day. But Neymar Rabba took it off right before nightfall, so then they were being mekayim a mitzvah. That's what they were saying with the bracha l'shmar chukav, because they were following the opinion of the man d'amar that says laila lav zman tefillin. And since the time of night is not a time for tefillin, they made the bracha of l'shmar chukav that they're following the mitzvah that they have to take off tefillin. Tosis points out that nowadays, even if a person left on his tefillin all day, should still not make the bracha of Lishmar Chukav, because we follow the Man Omer that says Laila Zman Tfilin, which means that there isn't a chiyuv to take it off at night. However, we do take it off at night because of the chash, we might fall asleep in them, and therefore we do not wear tefillin at night. However, it's interesting to note that there are two fascinating customs. One that is mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah. One, which was the personal custom of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal that was followed, that he instructed even his children to follow as well, that resonates with this shita that says that one makes a bracha of Lishmar Chukav. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, we all know that we take off the tefillin before Musaf. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Chaf Gimel Sif Dalid says that the reason for it is because the Yom Tov in and of itself an oath, and that's why we don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov. Similarly, Rosh Chodesh, we want to indicate that's a special day, so therefore we take off tefillin during that time. The Mishnah Berurah then adds, V'kasav prima gadim sheishlach lo tefillin v'uval letzion kodim yiratzon shenir shmar chukecha. One should take off during the time of nishmar chukecha. In other words, there was a custom to follow since one is shown that it's an oath, so that's part of the chukim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Bnei Ma'arava, the Sharetzim points out, would mamish make a bracha lishmar chukecha. So we, says the Prima Gadim, take off the tefillin by nishmar chukecha. There are some who do it. The Yesh Nagim, and some have the custom, rak lachlot haritzuas me'etzva kodim yiratzon. And some begin to take off the ritzuas. Now, it is not the minig Yisrael to take off before the Kaddish. And I think the reason for that is because one is not supposed to take off one's tefillin before the Kaddish after uvalitzion. However, there are some that follow this that are mekayim the idea of shmiras chukech in the yiratzon of uvalitzion, yiratzon shenishmar chukecha bolam hazeh v'niske v'nichye v'nir v'nir eshtova, etc., etc. When he says that, then he unwraps his ritzuah. So on Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes such a custom, and the Mishnah Berurah even mentions some that would mamish start taking off their tefillin at that time. In the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, in footnotes to the conclusion of Perek Yud Aleph, in footnote number 45, there are many customs of Reb Shlomo Zalman that are brought down. And here, the Halicha Shlomo quotes the following. Cholatz ritzuas hatfilin me'al kaf yado. He would undo the tefillin from on his palm. Be'ez amiris yiratzon shenishmar chukecha besof kidusha de sidra. At the end of Uvalet Zion, the Omar, and he said, that even though Achronim wonder on the minig of following, imitating the Bnei Ma'arava, because we follow the opinion that says Kedusha is, Laila is Zman Tefillin, and when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, it's also Zman Tefillin, it's only a custom. Mikol Malkom Kachlim Du Ben Aruso, this is how he was taught, Reb Shlomo Zalman was taught as a child, V'Kein Limei Lebonov, and that's how he would teach his children as well. Every single thing that Gedolei Torah do is with a cheshbon, and Reb Shlomo Zalman's custom follow the cheshbon, which is based on the opinion of the Gemara, which we reject because we follow Laila Zman Tefillin. But nevertheless, there are echoes. That's an expression that I learned from Rosenzweig. There are echoes of this rejected opinion even in the customs of Klal Yisrael today, and there's a residue of the bracha of Lishmar Chukecha in Uvalet Zion, Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh V'niske V'nichya V'nirash. Evo Uvracha L'shnei Yimois HaMoshiach L'chayi Olam Haba. This Bezer Hashem concludes the second topic from Daf Mem Dalet.